Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in this next half-hour segment, we're going to take a look at a recent incident in which a Nazi terrorist and convicted bomber was invited to lecture at an elite German military academy. This is significant because not only is there a growing incidence of Nazism in the German army, indeed, as we've looked at in numerous archive shows, including RFA 37 and RFA number 2, and indeed in a 13 half-hour segment series entitled Reunited Germany, The New Danger, the institutions of Germany were never denazified. One of the main reasons for that is that the institutions of the Western Allies, including the United States, were never denazified either, and the influence of not only American industrialists and financiers, but American eugenics thinkers and laws, American eugenics legislation, had a profound influence on German National Socialism. We've looked at that in numerous archive shows available from Spitfire. The German army was among those institutions that was never formally denazified or never effectively denazified. It was superficially denazified. And as the world prepares for the coming of the euro, in which the major, over the course of the next 10 years, by the time the first couple of rounds have been concluded, sometime within the next 10 years, the major industrial powers of Europe, if all goes according to plan, are going to be dissolved into a single economic entity dominated by Germany. And for that reason, and whatever the case may be, whether the euro turns out to be a weak currency, which could devastate the United States economically by causing a flight to the dollar and choking off American manufactured exports, or whether the euro turns out to be a strong currency, which might very well mandate very high interest rates in the European countries, which could lead to continued high unemployment or even greater unemployment in some of those countries, which could fuel the sentiment for fascism in those countries, the reemergence of German fascism is of no small significance to citizens of the world, people in the United States in particular. The significance of the reemergence of Nazism in Germany, in particular for Americans, was discussed in an op-ed column that appeared in the San Jose Mercury News of Wednesday, December 24th of 1997. This article appeared first in the Los Angeles Times. This is an op-ed column by Jacob Heilbrunn, H-E-I-L-B-R-U-N-N. He's an editor of The New Republic, who recently returned from a month in Germany. And this article is entitled, As Germany Examines the Past, Neo-Nazis Are Emerging. Nazis are back. In the past year, Switzerland has suffered an international black eye over hoarding of Nazi gold. France, under President Jacques Chirac, has begun to confront the legacy of the Vichy regime, and Austria has a right-wing candidate, Jörg Haider, who may become chancellor in the 1998 elections. Nowhere, however, has the Nazi past become a more disputed subject than in a reunited Germany. After traveling to Frankfurt, Berlin, and Munich, it becomes clear to me that the problem in Germany isn't remembering the past. Museums, exhibitions, and memorials on the Nazi era are everywhere. Strange as it may sound, Germany's difficulty is that it spends too much time reflecting on the past and not enough time tackling very real Nazi phenomena of today. While public attention is focused on the Holocaust, two things are radically reshaping German society. The first is intellectual. Novelists, journalists, and professors have begun to espouse a more nationalistic line, not a Nazi one, but nonetheless one that stresses German power and identity and is hostile to foreigners and the United States in particular. What alarms liberal Germans is that they believe the intellectuals are legitimizing a more disturbing trend, the emergence of radical neo-Nazis who have driven foreigners out of many towns in the former East Germany and heavily penetrated the Federal Army. Since 1989, when the Berlin Wall fell, a self-proclaimed, quote, New Right, unquote, movement of intellectuals, historians, and professors who espouse German pride and patriotism has been on the rise. They are deeply anti-American because they see an American-style, multicultural society as a threat to Germanness. Above all, this New Right hopes to rehabilitate German nationalism by emphasizing communist atrocities to soft-pedal Germany's own misdeeds. One leading German historian of fascism, Ernst Nolte, capital N-O-L-T-E, a professor at the Free University of Berlin, started a nationwide debate by asserting that Adolf Hitler was only responding to Soviet crimes when he launched an attack on the Soviet Union and set up concentration camps. What is taking place in Germany is a war of memories. If you think Germany was guilty of a unique crime in seeking to exterminate European Jewry, then the country carries a special stigma that will always separate it from other countries. Hence, Germany must be more careful about flexing its muscles at home and abroad. But if you're part of the new right, you have no patience with this notion. Germany is a normal country like any other, and can assert its own interests without feeling ashamed of its history. The intellectual and neo-Nazi phenomena came into sharp relief this spring. The Hamburg Institute for Social Research presented an exhibition, Crimes of the Wehrmacht, that traveled throughout Germany. The reaction was explosive. The exhibition displayed graphic pictures of ordinary German soldiers, not members of the Waffen-SS, committing heinous crimes against civilians on the Eastern Front. Conservative members of the Christian Democratic Party denounced the exhibit, claiming the German army had remained pure from Nazi influence. Atrocities, they said, were confined to the SS. Liberal and leftist politicians, from the Free Democratic Party to the Greens, said this was a myth. The photos were just further evidence of the complicity of German society with the Nazis. Most significant, neo-Nazis in Germany also protested the exhibition. In Munich, there were almost battles on the streets when several thousand neo-Nazis marched in the city. Meanwhile, the Federal Defense Force or Army is being infiltrated by neo-Nazis. According to the Army's own statistics, the number of neo-Nazi incidents in its own ranks tripled in the past year. The most prominent case concerns a lawyer and neo-Nazi terrorist named Manfred Roeder. That's R-O-D-E, capital R-O-E-D-E-R. In 1982, Roeder was sentenced to 13 years in prison for participating in an attack that killed two Vietnamese asylum seekers. He got early release for good behavior, but promptly began to agitate again on the neo-Nazi scene. He founded an organization for the, quote, re-Germanization of East Prussia, unquote. Amazingly, Roeder got money from the Foreign Office for his project. He was also invited by the Hamburg Military Leadership Academy to give an address about bringing back Germans to East Prussia. A festive dinner followed his speech. The case of Roeder is simply the most glaring sign that the army has a Nazi problem. Some of the recent incidents include soldiers in uniform protesting the exhibition on the German army's World War II crimes, a self-filmed video of soldiers pretending to rape and execute civilians, two young soldiers in Dresden burning down a house where Italian construction workers lived, a video of a soldier climbing into an oven in imitation of Auschwitz, and soldiers in the former East Germany giving the Heil Hitler straight-arm salute. Most recently, it was disclosed that when Defense Minister Foka Ruhe visited Croatia, where German soldiers are serving in the peacekeeping forces, the troops started yelling, "Heil Hitler!" Ruhe claims these are all isolated cases, but this is implausible. German officials, rather, remain willfully blind to the extent of neo-Nazism in their society. By the way, I would note that in an 8 half-hour segment series entitled Specialized Knowledge and Abilities, I've noted the Nazi tactic worldwide of attempting to infiltrating the police and the military, not only in order to subvert those institutions, but in order to utilize those specialized knowledge and abilities to subvert the democratic state. There have also been, in the past couple of years, some very disturbing signs of Nazism in some elements, some units of the U.S. military as well. As I've indicated in numerous shows, including RFA 2 and RFA 37, because the Nazis were anti-communist, anti-labor, and pro-eugenics, the institutions of the Federal Republic of Germany were never effectively denazified. And indeed, the profound influence of American fascists on their German counterparts that I've talked about in many programs helped to bring that about. More about the hiring of Manfred Roeder, or the requisition of Manfred Roeder, a convicted terrorist, a Nazi terrorist and murderer, to address an elite German officers' academy, this is not apparently an isolated incident. The Germany Alert newsletter, available on the World Wide Web, of December 14th of 1997, discussed this. This is an article datelined Bonn and headlined Konter, Kinkel, and Ruhe Linked to Nazi Scandal. More about that later, but more about the connections between the German governmental leadership and the CDU and the Roeder incident, the hiring again of convicted Nazi terrorist and murderer Manfred Roeder to lecture to a German, an elite German officers' academy. This is apparently not an isolated incident. And Der Spiegel revealed that the neo-Nazi youth organization Group 164 had, like Raeder, been invited to the elite military academy to deliver a propaganda speech. And I would note in this context also that incident as well was by no means isolated. That was from the Germany Alert of December 14th of 1997. The Germany Alert of January 16th of 1998 datelined Berlin and headlined, "Bundeswehr gave SS Nazis humanitarian help," unquote, describes the following. It turns out that the German military supplied military vehicles as a gift to a notorious group of veteran Nazi SS volunteers. The latest in a shockingly long list of scandals involving the Bundeswehr came to light in a report on Panorama, a German television news magazine program. Two military trucks were provided without charge to Kameradenwerkkorps Steiner, an organization named for one of Hitler's favorite generals, Felix Steiner, of the murderous Waffen-SS. To top it off, German military officials wrote off the 1996-97 gift of the trucks as, quote, humanitarian help, unquote. Chancellor Helmut Kohl and his ministers have repeatedly sought to downplay the shock list of Bundeswehr Nazi scandals as, quote, isolated incidents, unquote. But on Friday, January 16th, the military announced it will suspend all, quote, humanitarian help, unquote, gifts of vehicles. By the way, I would note in this context that the German media have, at least the ones that have worldwide access, have been quite good about covering the terrifying reemergence of Nazism in their own country. In fact, the German media have been doing a better job of covering that than the American media have. And I will also note that the American media have been doing a damn poor job of covering the emergence of fascism in the United States as well. Indeed, it is my considered opinion that both Germany and the United States are plunging down the road to fascism. It is my opinion that, and I've expressed that on numerous programs, that barring a sea change in world political affairs, that the whole world is going to go fascist, and I believe that in the 21st century, Germany, not the United States, will emerge as the dominant power in the world, and that power will be fascist and Nazi. More of about this particular incident, and we should note again that the hiring of Manfred Raeder was not an isolated incident. Manfred Raeder also was something of a liaison figure with Nazis and fascists in other countries, including American fascists as well. Once again, turning to the Germany Alert newsletter, available on the World Wide Web, this is from Germany Alert of December 8th of 1997. This is datelined Bonn and headlined, "Raeder known as Nazi's contact man abroad." Manfred Raeder is not some small-time neo-Nazi. He has been directly linked to the 1980 terror bombings of the Bologna, Italy train station, the Oktoberfest in Munich, and a synagogue in Paris. In 1981, he was sentenced to 13 years in prison in connection with a firebomb killing of two Vietnamese immigrants in Germany. He was released after 8 years and immediately returned to work with hate groups and nationalist causes. Raeder is officially termed a terrorist by German intelligence. He authored the foreword to Auschwitz Lie, known as a Bible-like handbook for German Nazis. Raeder has been unmasked as the German Nazi establishment's contact man with foreign movements including the British Nazi Party, or BNP. He has close contacts to U.S. Nazis as well as American Ku Klux Klan organizations. So please note that Raeder's contact with American fascists as well. One of the things that comes to mind is Andreas Strassmeier. Andreas Strassmeier is the son of Günter Strassmeier, Helmut Kohl's former chief of staff and the primary architect of German reunification. Andreas Strassmeier was a former officer in the German army. He also was the security director for Elohim City, and according to an ATF informant who had infiltrated Elohim City and had apparently advanced knowledge of the Oklahoma City bombing, Timothy McVeigh, who Strassmeier admits knowing, was not only involved in the Oklahoma City bombing, but according to Carol Howe, this ATF informant, Andreas Strassmeier was the mastermind of the Oklahoma City bombing. Again, I think the Andrea Strassmeyer situation at Elohim City, the allegations about Strassmeyer that were voiced by Carol Howe, who, by the way, passed a polygraph examination, and the Manfred Rader incident, obviously, as we've already seen, not an isolated incident, those, I think, are to be considered very carefully in light of one another. One wonders to what extent Andrea Strassmeyer may have travel the same roads as Manfred Rader. As we have noted, the German governmental leadership has been implicated in the Rader scandal, and they have also been taking steps to cover that scandal up as well. The following also comes from Germany Alert, and by the way, a tip of the hat to a number of listeners who have faxed me these articles. This comes from Germany Alert of December 8th of 1997. This is Dateline Hamburg and headlined, Kinkel's Ministry Linked to Nazi Military Scandal, subtitled, Defense Ministry Assisted Rader Group. Foreign Minister and former Germany spy master Klaus Kinkel's staff has now been linked to the growing scandal about resurgent Nazi influence in the German military. By the way, as we've noted in the past, the German intelligence service, the BND, or Bundesnachrichtendienst, began as Hitler's Eastern Front spy outfit, Fremdeheer Ost, or Foreign Armies East, headed up by Wehrmacht Major General Reinhard Gehlen. After World War II, Reinhard Gehlen and his entire outfit, to a large extent merely a front for the Odessa, the powerful and lethal post-World War II SS underground, jumped to Western intelligence and became, in turn, the CIA's Department of Russian and Eastern European Affairs, the de facto NATO organization, and finally, the BND, the intelligence service of the Federal Republic of Germany. Even in that last capacity, it continued to supply the United States and NATO with the bulk of its intelligence on the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe while retaining all of its Nazi character. So again, note that the current German Foreign Minister, Klaus Kinkel, is a former head of the BND. Perhaps we could think of him perhaps as the George Bush of Germany. Continuing. Government records show that in 1994, convicted Nazi terrorist Manfred Rader set up a front organization and called it Deutsch-Russischen Gemeinschaftswerks, or German-Russian Cooperation Association. Rader used his clearly substantial ties to the Foreign Affairs Ministry in order to gain legitimacy for the group. His efforts paid off. Kinkel's staff gave Rader's organization a seal of approval, asserting it acted in, quote, federal German interest, unquote. That was enough for Rader to obtain gifts of used vehicles, tools, and a small amount of cash for his organization from the Defense Ministry. Admiral Rudolf Lange, L-A-N-G-E, who was at the elite German Military Officers Academy, claimed that those who attended a speech by Rader at the Academy did not detect any, quote, right-wing radical, unquote, message in the address. Lange told the Berliner Zeitung, quote, everyone said it was an interesting talk, unquote. Yet the very theme of the 1995 speech was a favorite of the German Nazi movement. Rader spoke about, quote, ethnic German, unquote, Russians who were resettling in Kaliningrad, a Russian-Baltic Sea enclave that was called Königsberg until the fall of Hitler at the end of World War II. German nationalists seek an eventual takeover of Kaliningrad. Klaus Kinkel was not the only German governmental official linked to this particular scandal. The Germany Alert newsletter of December 14th of 1997 has an article datelined Bonn and headlined Konter, Kinkel, and Ruhe linked to Nazi scandal. All three of Chancellor Helmut Kohl's key ministers are now implicated in the tangled scandal around convicted Nazi terrorist Manfred Rader, who received favored government treatment, free Bundeswehr transport vehicles, and who was the invited guest speaker at the German military's elite officers academy. Interior Minister Manfred Konter is the latest to be linked to the scandal. According to the pro-Kohl Bild am Sonntag, Konter's ministry secretly downgraded government warnings about Rader's front organization recently, claiming it is, quote, not significantly right-wing extremist, unquote. The downgrade was enough for Konter's domestic intelligence agency, for Forschungsschutz, to stop spying on the Nazi group. Implicating Konter increases outrage both in Germany and abroad about the Kohl government's complicity in aiding outspoken Nazis. By the way, bear in mind again, former German military officer Andrea Strassmeyer, the son of Helmut Kohl's former chief of staff, Günter Strassmeyer, who was the architect of German reunification. Strassmeyer was present, by the way, at the reunification ceremony, according to Germany Alert. That would have necessitated having a German governmental security clearance. Bear in mind, by way of comparison, suppose Timothy McVeigh had been hired to lecture at West Point. It's just a similar situation. Continuing. Earlier, Foreign Minister Klaus Kinkel and Defense Minister Volker Rühe were linked to the Raider affair. And again, we've already spoken about that. Still more about the efforts on behalf of the German government to obfuscate the significance of this scandal. Again, the Germany Alert newsletter, this from December 15th of 1997, an article datelined Bonn, headlined, Massive CDU Drive to Disparage Nazi Bundeswehr Scandal. Defense Minister Volker Rühe and the ruling Christian Democrat Party, or CDU, have launched a massive offensive aimed at belittling revelations linking the German military establishment to a convicted Nazi terror bomber. Rühe condemned, quote, rumor mongers and provocateurs, unquote, for a barrage of evidence that a wide range of Bundeswehr soldiers, from some top officers down to dozens of recruits, had been up to their necks in neo-Nazi activities. The defense minister, who has been tipped as a possible successor to Chancellor Helmut Kohl, warned disparagingly that a flood of additional reports on Nazis in the Bundeswehr could be coming. Rühe did not claim the reports are untrue. CDU General Secretary Peter Hintze, H-I-N-T-Z-E, led a wave of statements backing Rühe and assailing the revelations without denying their accuracy. The government strategy has been greeted with disbelief and apprehension outside Germany. Vienna's Courier attacked Kohl administration for continually playing down the extent of Nazi influence in the military. Officials in the Netherlands and Italy said privately that Germany will lose the credibility it has built up if it doesn't take emergency steps to get clean up both the Bundeswehr and government ministries implicated in the scandal. And again, one of the reasons why the hiring of Raider should not be all that surprising is that what Raider is advocating is basically at one with the German governmental policy, the Drang nach Osten, or Drive to the East. By the way, I would refer interested listeners to the vitally important recent book, The Beast Reawakens, by Martin A. Lee, which discusses the reemergence of German fascism and the Drang nach Osten, including the perpetuation of Nazism within the German army. That book, again, The Beast Reawakens, by Martin A. Lee, a vitally important title currently available, as I speak, in February of 1998. More from the Germany Alert newsletter, this datelined Bonn, and from December 10th of 1997. Nazi terrorists' web stretches to official German policy. The article reads, Germany watchers have not been surprised that convicted Nazi terrorist Manfred Raider was supplied with free military transport vehicles and was invited to address Germany's elite Bundeswehr Officer Academy. They point out that nationalists in the upper echelons of Chancellor Helmut Kohl's government are in charge of policies that specifically mirror the goals of today's extreme right wing and Nazi movement. Indeed, official German policy under Kohl is to actively support the very cause that Raider's Nazi propaganda preaches, Germanizing, quote-unquote, huge portions of Poland and a small part of Russia by resettling, quote, ethnic Germans, unquote, there. The official federal government budget includes millions for such resettlements. By the way, the retrievement groups, very closely affiliated with and in some cases founded by the SS, are actually funded by the German government. And Eduard Lindner, the deputy interior minister, is head of one of the most important of those, the Sudetendeutsche Landsmannschaft. Continuing. Actually, he's a member of it. I'm not sure if he's the head of it. Continuing. The Ministry of the Interior claims that 3.5 million, quote, ethnic Germans, unquote, live in Eastern Europe. Interestingly, in a precise reflection of views spread by Nazi propaganda, the German government gives responsibility for the ethnic Germans to its Interior Ministry, not the Foreign Ministry, even though the, quote, ethnic Germans, unquote, live outside the country and most of them have never set foot in Germany. Meanwhile, Stern magazine has revealed that a top Bundeswehr personnel officer kept a photograph of Adolf Hitler on the wall of his office. The publication reported on a German army parachutist unit which celebrates Hitler's birthday each April 20th by showing a Nazi propaganda film attacking Jews and listening to a band playing Nazi hymns. The same unit, based in Bavaria, celebrates the anniversary of Germany starting World War II. And, bear in mind that propaganda film. Austrian newspapers joined an increasingly vocal Europe in expressing fear and concern about Nazi involvement in the German military. Der Standard wrote that top Bundeswehr personnel, not just misguided recruits, are under suspicion of spreading extreme right-wing propaganda aimed at reviving the Third Reich. The daily Vienna Presse said the scandal has, quote, ruined, unquote, the reputation of the modern-day German military. And more on foreign reaction in Europe to this scandal. Again, from Germany Alert newsletter, December 9th of 1997, Dateline Amsterdam headlined, Europe fears Nazi role in German military. There is heightened concern across Europe in the wake of revelations that Nazis are taking on a widening role in numerous levels in the German military, going all the way up to the top ranks. Skipping down, Amsterdam's daily Die Volksrant cautioned that German Chancellor Helmut Kohl has some explaining to do in light of revelations that convicted Nazi terrorist Manfred Raeder addressed an elite officers' academy. The paper declared that Defense Minister Volker Rühe's career should be in ruins in view of the widening Bundeswehr scandal. In Rome, the daily La Repubblica urgently asked how the Atlantic Alliance can be certain any longer that Germany's military can be trusted. The paper raised questions about whether the Bundeswehr is indeed tied to Western values and democracy in view of spiraling evidence of Nazi influence. It recalled atrocities committed by German soldiers against its neighbors in the past, noting that countries like Poland may be increasingly alarmed about Germany. And by the way, it should not come as all that much of a surprise to see a reemergence of Nazism in the German army, as we've looked at in numerous archive shows, including RFA 37, and in numerous segments, including the interviews with Martin Lee and the aforementioned 13-segment part series Reunited Germany, The New Danger. The German army was among those institutions that was never effectively denazified. We're going to turn now to a book called The New Reich, subtitled Violent Extremism in Unified Germany and Beyond. That book was authored by Michael Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, copyright 1991, and published by Pantheon Books in New York. ISBN number 0-679-42578-0. And you heard reference to a German parachutist unit that watched a Third Reich propaganda film condemning Jews. Early on in the New Reich, we read, a voice booms from the loudspeakers. From the start of man's existence, rats have followed him as parasites. Their homeland is Asia. From there, they migrated in giant hordes through Russia and the Balkans into Europe. An alarming net of lines spreads over the screen as the brown rats flood through Europe. Cut. The same lines appear, but this time they represent the migration of the Jews. That can't be, the young man next to me is outraged, indignant at the Jews' insolence, unquote, in spreading out like that. By the way, this is at a neo-Nazi showing of this Third Reich propaganda film. Continuing. The image flickers on the screen while the spectators in the darkened room sit spellbound. Now and then, someone curses loudly. On the screen, rats run toward us. Wherever rats turn up, the narrator explains in a sober, authoritative voice, they bring destruction with them. They destroy goods and foodstuffs, and they spread disease, leprosy, plague, typhoid, cholera, dysentery, and many others. They are cunning, cowardly, and cruel, and they generally appear in great hordes. Among animals, they represent an element of treacherous, subterranean destruction, just as Jews do among men. Among the audience, agreement is general, as it probably was in 1941, when To Ewiger Jude, the Eternal Jew, played in Berlin's biggest movie theater. By the way, this again is a Third Reich propaganda film. What's interesting about this is, skipping down in the New Reich, this indoctrination film, which had sparked my first serious investigations into the past, produced the same effect on me as before. The text, which practically explodes with hate and is completely false, was written by a Dr. Eberhard Taubert, T-A-U-B-E-R-T. Not only was he never condemned for the film, but after the war, he continued to work for the federal government and, as of 1980, for the Army's Division of Psychological Defense. And that concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.